Here's a little wild wisdom straight from South Africa. It's Assembly Radio's Wild Wise Women, Lumka, Robin, and Fluffy in conversation with Prem Rawat.
And we're back.
Hi. I love how Fluffy keeps doing this to me. I'm like, wait, what? Thank you, Prem. I think we should start a show together now. Jeez.
So guys, on Friday evening, we attended the launch of one of Prem's books, the latest book called Splitting the Arrow, which is a beautiful collection of stories, poems, teachings, and it offers practical advice on life, success, and relationships. I was reading through the book, and one of the stories that really spoke to me and I think is very pertinent in SA at the moment is called The Tortoise's Picnic. So, Prem, I just wanted to know whether you could share that story with us and tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's basically a very simple story in that there was a family of tortoise and they decided to go for a picnic. So there was the dad and the mom and the baby tortoise. And off they went and they went looking for a nice place where they could all settle down and have this wonderful picnic. And they brought the picnic with them and they found a place and they laid out the tablecloth and they brought their basket and did the whole nine yards. And they were just about to start eating when the daddy tortoise noticed that they had forgotten the bottle opener at home. So the dad looked at the baby tortoise and said, "Baby, go back home and bring me the bottle opener. We forgot it, you know, and it would be really nice to have some soft drinks with our sandwiches." And the baby tortoise said, "No." He says, "This is not nice for you to say no. I'm your dad. I'm asking you nicely. Go home and get me the bottle opener." So he said, "Well, if I go to get the bottle opener, you will eat my sandwich."
Because we all know dads are like that.
It's all my dads, moms. Like
just. So the dad said, no, absolutely not. We're going to wait for you. So off he goes. And so they're waiting for him, of course, being tortoise. They're waiting for him for 1 day and 2 days and 3 days. And he isn't back. And so finally the daddy tortoise looked at the mama tortoise and said, "I think we should just have our sandwich. I don't think he's coming back." So as soon as the daddy tortoise started to take the first bite off the sandwich, the baby tortoise jumped out from behind the rock and said, "I knew it. I knew it. He would have the sandwich without me." So, you know, the point of the whole story is we have all our expectations, all our ideas, you know, in different ways. And we don't try to understand the importance of being alive. Everybody wants the instant solution to something, you know. Give me the instant peace. I want the instant coffee. I want the instant wife. I want the instant girlfriend. I want the instant relationship. I want the instant money. I want the instant job. I want the instant ride. Everything is like now. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know, finally these digital watches are becoming very popular. And it's very interesting because a long time ago, when they used to have just good old analog watches, one thing you had to do is you got up in the morning, you had to wind them up before they would start telling the time. And so then they came out with automatic watches and they came out with, you know, battery-powered watches. And you didn't have to do that every day. The battery-powered watch would run sometimes for a year or even more. Now we're at digital watches, and guess what? You have to charge that watch every single day, because if you don't, it's not going to do anything. And so it's all these cyclic circles we keep going around and around in. And it's very, very interesting that why do we do this? I mean, is it just for the sake of it? I mean, I love gadgets. I love technology, all of that stuff. But why do we do this? And there is a drive inside of us to better ourselves. And I think that when we don't pay any attention to bettering ourselves and we just think that doing external things to better ourselves is all our responsibility and it's all we have to do, it doesn't pan out. And you have peace and you have prosperity. And a lot of people think it's prosperity and then peace. But you're never going to get prosperity unless there is peace. Because that prosperity isn't going to hold together. It's going to fall apart. And then it'll become just a cyclic circle of it's like, oh, should we put peace first? Should we put prosperity first? Right now, the formula is, oh, yeah, well, we'll think about peace. First, we will have prosperity, right? Well, no, because this prosperity isn't being very prosperous. Because of the human being not being in peace, there's no understanding of human dignity. There's no understanding of human beings. People are dying hungry in this world. Why? Is there a shortage of food?
No.
Absolutely not. There's no shortage of food. The amount of food that is thrown away is simply staggering. Staggering how much food is actually thrown away. But why is it that these people who are dying of hunger cannot get that food? What happened to clean water? I mean, what happened to clean water? I mean, you know, everywhere you go, bottled water, bottled water, bottled water. I mean, you know, I was born in a generation in India where you didn't have bottled water. You had water from your tap or a well, and it was sweet, and it was wonderful, and it was clear, and it was. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh no, the water has gotten contaminated. Who contaminated it? You know, who contaminated this water so that we can start buying bottled water? And I just want people to wake up a little bit. Instead of saying, well, that's normal now. You know, this is how just things, the way things are. There are certain things that we need as human beings. One of them that we need right away is air. We won't last very long without air. Maybe about 3 minutes. There's a rule of threes with these things. And so that needs to be clean because it is incredibly essential and important for our body to have that air. The second thing is the warmth. 3 hours and you could go into hypothermia. So the shelter that we need needs to be good. That'll keep us out of those elements.
Yeah.
That's very, very important. Then we got 3 days without food. You know, or 3 days without water, and then, you know, maybe 3 weeks or so without food. People have survived. So taking a look at these things, it is so important that our food, our water, our air, and our environment is there for us. Because these things are important for us. We this is not a luxury. We need these to survive. We need these to live. And people are not paying attention to those things. And we're looking for prosperity. Prosperity. What is the definition of prosperity? What is the definition of peace? Well, peace is something that needs to be felt. And prosperity, is it truly objective or is it subjective? I feel prosperous. I have water, I have food, I have a place to stay. I feel prosperous because there are people who have everything and they don't feel prosperous. So is it objective or is it subjective? And the same thing with peace. Is it objective or is it subjective? I mean, okay, so you live on top of a mountain and you're wearing a certain clear, color of clothes and your name is a certain way and your hair is a certain way. And so, oh, you must be in peace. Come on. That's it? That's not peace. Peace is when you feel it. And peace is not objective, but it is subjective. And you have to feel it. You have to feel peace in your life. Not just one day, but every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Wow.
Okay. How do you expect people to actually have a conversation with you when you like do mic bombs, like mic drops everywhere? Those are like, you keep having these profound and powerful speeches. And like, we end up having the same facial expression. Like, what do you say next? who am I?
But the thing is, these things are just simple.
Yeah,
they're not, you know, out of some slab that fell off of the skies. This is just the need of a human being. That's all we're talking about, you know? I mean, this is nothing fancy. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. We are here. There's one planet Earth. This is the planet Earth that we inhabit. We are here. I mean, things are pretty straightforward so far I'm concerned because they have been looking for life on other planets. And they haven't really found it yet. You know, they keep going, oh, there might have been life here. There might have been life here. And I was like, okay, I know why they need to do that. They need to do that because one day this planet Earth is going to go away. And so then there is a quest for human beings to live in other planets, other surfaces, other places. But are the foundations of that future good or bad? Fundamentally, good or bad? If we cannot have peace and prosperity and human dignity on this planet right now, looking for other ones, we're going to take the same disease and supplant it in other places, at least as a simple experiment. You know, and this is what I say, peace will be mankind's finest achievement. Finest. And we need to have it here. We need to have it here so that we can say to ourselves, yes, we can all live in peace, not blowing each other up. Because otherwise, that's, we're going to go to other places and that's exactly what we're going to do. You know, clean up this planet. Otherwise, we're going to go to these other places and we're going to pollute till it's gone, till it's destroyed. And so we will become not the custodians, but we will become the destroyers.
Yeah.
And this is not right. This just mm-hmm. isn't right. And it can't be. It can't be.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I took from that story was just the distrust between people. As you know, like in SA at the moment, there's a lot of distrust between people, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. How do we begin to move past that?
This is something that people are really going to have to ask themselves one simple question. And the question is, when you say move past it, that means move on. Not just past it, but move on. Move forward towards something positive, so something good.
Yes.
Do you want to do that?
Yes.
To truly want to do that?
I do. I'm hoping that everyone else does as well.
Most people don't. They're not ready to, though.
Look, to come up with an idea that I need to move forward. I need to go. I cannot stay in this situation. I cannot stay in this position. Because so far I stay in this position, I'm still being victimized by all that has taken place in the past. South Africa has one thing that is incredible. Really incredible. And that asset, I see, is the people of South Africa. Because what they have endured is absolutely amazing. I mean, it is a testament to endurance of a human being. And if they put their mind to it, they can do anything they want with that kind of endurance, with that kind of power that they have. I don't think that anybody is looking at empowering each other. You know, it's just distrust, distrust, distrust. And the reason why the distrust is there, because everything was in a bottle. It's like taking a, you know, one of the soft drink bottles and shaking it and shaking it and shaking it, then popping it open and it just goes all over the place. That was the situation here. People were frustrated with what was going on. And that frustration is going to express itself. But there is also a result, and if there is a result, to help each other move forward. It's not an individual thing. You cannot just lock your house and say, oh yeah, everything is fine. You know, everybody has to come together to say, we all have to move forward. We all have to move forward. And then it can happen. Then it will happen. Because the resolve is there. The understanding is there. It is not just some myth. And then there is this empowerment issue where you ask people, why aren't you moving forward? And people will go, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? This resignation of what can I do? What difference will it make? But people coming together, amazing things can happen. You know, there is a lot of bad in this world, but there is a lot of good in this world. There is a lot of hatred in this world, and there's a lot of kindness in this world. And what we have to do is to perpetuate the kindness. What we have to do is perpetuate the good in people. And if we can do that, and you know, and then there's this other thing, looking for a leader. Everybody's looking for a leader. And there's this joke, you know, somebody asks the leaders, there's this procession going on, there's people in the front, and they're obviously the leaders, and everybody's following them. And they went to the leaders, well, where are you going? We have no idea where we're going. We're just being pushed by the people. And they asked the people, well, where are you going? So, well, we have no idea. We're following them. And so it's like nobody knows. Leaders are not going to do it. Look at the record of this world. I mean, we're talking about a few thousand years here. And the leaders have not been able to fix it. And things just break down, break down, break down. What has gotten perpetuated is the human greed. This is what has gotten supported. Let me tell you a very nice little story. There was a tribe, and one day, a young kid approached the chief. And he said, Chief, I have a question for you. So what is your question? The chief, I notice that sometimes people are good, and sometimes people are bad. And sometimes those people who are good, they're bad. And sometimes those people who were bad, they're good. Why is that? The chief said, in each human being, there are two wolves, a good wolf and a bad wolf, and they fight each other. So the boy thought about it, and after a little while he said, Chief, why do they fight? And the chief said, to gain supremacy over you. Take you over. So then the boy thought about that for a while, and he said, Chief, which wolf wins? The chief looked at the boy and he said, the one you feed. I really like this story because it's a simple example of which one is going to win. Now, there are people, believe me, there are people who are like, let's kill the bad wolf. But excuse me, how's that going to help the good wolf? You got to feed the good wolf. Forget about the bad wolf. Feed the good wolf.
Yes.
All these people who are wanting to move on, who are distrusting, which wolf are they feeding? Are they feeding the good wolf or are they feeding the bad wolf? And if they want to move on, they got to feed the good wolf. Good wolf hasn't been fed for a very, very long time. Very, very long time. And it's about time that we start paying attention to the good wolf. Forget about the bad wolf. Because more attention you give it, more food you give it, you know, this is not going to help the good wolf. The good wolf needs to be fed. By beating the bad wolf, that's not going to help the good wolf. Good wolf has to be taken care of. I just think that that's such a poignant story for the condition of the world today, because everywhere you look, just people are feeding the bad wolf. You know, when I heard this story the first time, it really just touched me. Just really, really touched me, because like anybody else, I get angry. And all of a sudden, I caught myself going, which wolf did you just feed? It's like, I don't want to feed the bad wolf. Live your life consciously. You have to live your life consciously. This is one life you have. There is a whole idea you're going to come back. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and I just say to them, what's your proof? What's your proof? Oh, this is this lifetime, and you know, you were this in this last lifetime. So I said, do you remember what you did in your last lifetime? If I'm getting punished, if something bad happens to me, you go up to these people and you go, why am I being punished? I mean, why is these bad things happening? Oh, because you did something bad in your last lifetime. I say, okay, what was it? Well, why punish somebody when you don't even tell them what they're being punished for? So how are they going to make amends? you know? But of course we don't remember. We think, oh yeah, after I die, I'm going to go somewhere. I say to people, so when you were born, maybe you weighed 9 pounds, 8 pounds, whatever. You think the weight of the earth went up 8 pounds, 9 pounds? And when you die, maybe you weigh 140 pounds, 200 pounds, whatever it is. You think the earth gets lighter by 200 pounds? No. All this stuff that you're made out of stays right here. It gets recycled. And you have this life. The day you were born, you have no control over it. The day you're going to die, you have no control over it. But every single day in the middle, it's yours. Make it happen, people. Make it happen. And, you know, so I'm here talking about peace and all this stuff. So am I in peace all the time? No. No. Is everything perfect for me every single day? No. But you know what? Every day, I try. I try. And what's going to happen? Well, habit is something that makes something happen easily. That's what bad habits do. That's what good habits do. And if I can just form a habit to be conscious, not to waste my time, not to squander away my time, my life, this is my time. I can't give it to anybody. Yeah. I can't. You know, if people could sell few hours of their lives, there would be nobody poor in this world. All the rich people would buy it.
And they would
would be a lot of money, you know, they would put out. But it can't be done. And so it's yours, and you get to keep it. You get to do whatever with it. You can do whatever you want. You know, and I say to people, I say, look, you want to die, you want to go to heaven. I understand that. But what is wrong with making heaven right here? For us, making heaven right here. I mean, just to make heaven here. And if all the religions could tell this to their believers, that, okay, if you want to go to heaven after you die, the only way you're going to get in is if you first make heaven right here. You know, things would change real quick. Things would change real quick.
Thank you about that marriage. Thank you so much. Oh, so, man, your foundation is doing absolutely, like, amazing things. Where did that all begin?
Well, there was a need. I saw that people needed to receive help.
Yeah.
Now, well, people can say, well, there's a lot of foundations in the world that do that. But there is a formula that they don't understand.
Yeah.
And the first formula is, when you go to help somebody, at what cost are you helping them? I'm not talking about monetary cost. I'm talking about dignity. Okay? There is a lot of people, and this is a very strange thing that happens as a consequence. A lot of people donate their clothes. They go to some place, and, you know, all these people have clothes, and it's all free. But all those poor people who are tailors in the community now can't sell their clothes because nobody wants to buy them. They can get free. All those people who were making shoes cannot sell their shoes because people can get them for free. And they go bust. So people need help, but at the same time, in the name of help, you cannot hurt people. So one of the things that I wanted to do with the Prem Rawat Foundation is not just to blindly go and help people,
yeah,
but help people in a way which would be inclusive for everybody. So what we did is I went to this one area in India, and it was really, really poor. In fact, it was so poor that the children were stealing from the rats.
What?
Yes. The rat, in its chambers, has a middle chamber. It's called the king's chamber, and it stores food there. And so they would look at the holes, figure out where that middle chamber is, dig it up, and take the food out that the rat would store. This is how bad the situation was.
Learn something new about rats, too.
Yes.
Dude.
So I said, okay, what are we going to do for them? How can we help them? So people said, you know, build a hospital or build a this. And I said, look, hospital requires a lot of expertise. You know, how's that going to happen? So finally, I came up with the idea, we're going to do food for people. Okay, food for people. So what was behind this idea? Well, we're going to give them food that they can eat. Nothing alien, nothing from some planet that they have never seen before, but something that they actually...
Caviar.
No caviar. But something that they can eat. Secondly, we're not going to make their household cooking redundant.
Yeah.
Okay. Thirdly, we're going to limit it who can eat here.
Okay.
All right. And then we are only going to supply the raw materials. We will do the cooking. We will supply the facility, but we will not politically decide who comes and eats at this facility.
Okay.
We will let the chiefs do it. So we keep politics out of it. We started. The children of the area and the adults, the aged, they were the ones who would come and eat. One meal a day. That was it. One meal a day. Just one meal a day. And believe me, they could eat seconds, they could have thirds, whatever. We created the facility in such a way that the children would come and the first thing they have to do is wash their hands. See, they weren't washing their hands. That's why they were getting sick. The, you know, life expectancy there was like 40s and 50s. That was it. And none of the children going to the schools had ever left the school system and gone on to university. Never, never. Hadn't happened. So we came in, we built the facility, children started coming, and they started learning how to wash their hands. They would walk inside. There was nice, you know, plate for them. They would grab the plate. They would line up. They would receive the food. Food was hot. The kitchen is impeccable. The kitchen is as clean as the cleanest kitchen you'll see anywhere. Not a fly, not a bug, anything. I mean, it is professionally handled. All the cooks wear like surgical masks, hats, and every time they go outside, they have to wash their hands when they come back in. I mean, it's like a surgery almost.
Damn.
So clean food, incredible food, and the kids started loving it. So first year went by, second year went by, and then we started to see a change in the whole community. The crime rate dropped.
From one food of plates.
Exactly. People didn't need to steal. Because this one kid eating there was saving them one meal, and they could save up a little bit of money. Because this is every day. So the crime rate dropped. The health became significantly better because now kids were washing their hands and eating very good, clean food. And then it happened. For the first time, the kids graduated from school and went on to universities.
That is incredible.
What are you doing with your life, dude?
This was so exciting for me. I mean, it's so exciting. I mean, it worked. So we opened another one in Nepal.
Yeah.
And we opened another one in Ghana, West Africa.
Way!
Yes, way.
In my and head, I'm like,
yes. I mean, again, the same dynamics, you know?
Damn.
What's happening in Nepal? What's happening in Ghana? And I want to open more. I want to open more. And also here's the beautiful part. They grow their own food.
Okay, how do we get involved? I know you spoke about like how can one actually get involved in this now?
Well, we leave it up to the local people to run it. We provide the facility. We provide all of the materials that they need. But really, it has to be a project that, I mean, you see these kids come in, they're like, hey, what are you doing here? I stand there sometimes just watching the kids come in and they're like, what are you doing in my place? I mean, it's like they own this place. They come in and it's just so wonderful to see. It's like you took the ownership of this. This is wonderful. And this is how it should be. This is how it should be.
Can we like knuckle for this? Like, yes.
And this is what it should be. People should not feel like, oh my God, you know, I'm really in a pathetic situation. Thank you. No, it's like, hey, you're a human being. Dignity, dignity, peace, prosperity. You cannot lose people's dignities. And then people just go in there and it's like, yeah, we're here to, you know, we're here to do this and we're here to do that. And no, first thing, you got to remember, they're down and out, but they're still human beings and their dignity needs to be preserved.
Preserve the dignity.
Peace. May I ask a question, though? So you've said before about how, you know, people's greed has come in and the leaders are not leading and things. And then you say with this program that you're leaving it to the community. So how do you ensure, do you go through a process of checking who will be running it within the community to make sure that your fundamental goal is still being kept true to what it is? If that makes any sense?
It is so simple. This particular project is so simple. It runs by itself, basically.
Okay.
They grow the food.
Yeah.
Right? They cut that, cook it. People come, people eat. Structure has been provided. Mm-hmm. And TPRF has a person. And so if they need money to repair something or to buy fuel, you know, wood or coal or whatever it is, okay. It's not coal, it's wood. Because that's carbon neutral, TPRF then takes care of that.
Okay, so you don't just completely like you go, here's a building and then you're out. Like you're still involved in.
No, we have to maintain standards. We have to make sure that kitchen is clean. We have to make sure that the screens are not falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever maintenance, the money is required for the maintenance, but we keep that money issue out of people's hands.
Okay.
So it doesn't become political.
Okay.
Because that's where all these projects die. You know, as soon as money walks into it, everybody goes, ha, 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 I want some of that.
Yeah, no, we've seen that a lot in this country where government has tried to, you know, implement where kids are being given lunch and then principals or school officials get involved and then suddenly kids are having to pay for something that should be free. Like, there's always been lots of cases. That's why I was just wondering, you know, how do you maintain that level of this is purely for the community, like an upliftment without anything bad happening.
From the inception, the program truly is for the community. Mm-hmm. It isn't just for a namesake. Because for TPRF, we have a thing, you know, we're not just going to do something for namesake.
Yeah.
This is not for boasting rights. Even though we can boast so much, it's not for the boasting rights. This is to really make a difference. Mm-hmm. Really, really make a difference. And in 2014, I went there and I interviewed the kids. I talked to the kids. And I can tell you, the gratitude that they had for me because I did this for them, I still get goosebumps every time I think about that day. Thank you so much. And this is all they had to say, is thank you so much for doing this for us. It really has changed our lives. And I mean, to me, it's a simple thing, you know. It's a simple thing that technologies are there. Technologies can be deployed to create housing for people who are in that situation. I really want to try a program that maybe someday I will have the opportunity to make it happen. And I want to call it a second chance, where you have a house and you have land. And you know, if you're down and out, you come in there, you can stay,
mm-hmm.
and you have so much time. And we will teach you how to grow the crops. 60% of the crops you keep, 40% we take. We take that 40% and we use it for food for people and make that available to the communities. 60% you take it, you sell it, and you make your money, make enough money so you can get out of the hole, move on, and leave the place for somebody else who needs a second chance. And so something that could be set up like that, just to give people that chance. You know, nobody wants to be a burden on anybody else, really. But people just need the opportunity, you know. And people go into a bank, people go into a money institution, and they sign pieces of paper. They don't read the contract. I mean, excuse me, they don't read the contract. Have you looked at some of the print on that? It gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and they sign it. And what ends up happening is if they go into troubled times, which you can look at anybody's cycle, mm-hmm. even the biggest countries go in and out of troubled times and economically and whatever have you, they lose everything. It's a setup. It's a setup. Then you've got Bollywood dreams.
Wait, what are Bollywood dreams?
Though? Bollywood and Hollywood.
Oh, yes, the dream.
The big dream-making machines, Bollywood dreams. I want that, I want that, I want to be like this, I want to be like that. And next thing you know, there's the dreams. Here come the dreams. I mean, it's like dreams are really good, but you need to stay asleep, not be walking around.
And if you're going to be... of getting like to reality.
If you're going to be walking around, you're going to be in big trouble. So, you know, forget about that. Do things that are sensible. Save up. Do things right. Not get into trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and think before you do. Just think before you do. People are so amped on doing first, thinking later. And believe me, all the thinking you do after you've done something is not good kind of thinking. It's called lamenting. It's like, oh my God. But if you just give it a thought first, you can actually save yourself a lot of problems. So this is coming from an old guy here with his own experience, right? And,
is he We the Wild? You added the wise. You added the wise. But wait, before you head out and run off, you've impacted a lot of lives over the years. I can't believe you've been doing this for 50 years.
Yeah.
Moment. But I mean, you've impacted a lot of lives. Who's impacted your life?
Everybody.
So there's no one you'd like to be like, today I'd like to appreciate this individual because you've helped my journey.
I appreciate everyone.
Cool.
Because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And I do. I know so many people that I am so thankful for. Everybody that comes to hear me, I am thankful to them.
Yeah.
Everybody who takes my advice to their heart, I'm thankful to them. You know, I went to the prison, Malmesbury Prison, and I spoke to the inmates.
Yeah.
And I can say I'm very thankful to them. I'm very thankful that they gave me a chance and listened to me because I hope that I have brought something, a light in their life.
Yeah.
Because a lit lamp can light other lamps. An unlit lamp can't do anything, but a lit lamp can light other lamps. And this is what I believe in. 7.5 billion people on the face of this earth, let's light the lamps. It's not going to be country-wise. It's not going to be social. It's going to be individual to individual to individual to individual.
Nice. So if you were to describe your journey thus far in Cape Town, or South Africa, Cape Town, in one word, what would it be?
It's very exciting to be here. The thirst that people have, the openness that people have. I really appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that in people. And I know that when I talk to them, that I'm talking to these people who have endurance that you cannot believe, that I have a heart that is big.
Yeah.
And that is very important to me.
Nice. Any last and closing questions? I love how everyone is just like, I'm going to cancel my psychologist number right now. I don't need that.
The question I actually had written down is he's worked in and answered already.
Right? So I feel like such an idiot.
That's another reason why I'm so quiet, because I'm like, well, you've just answered my question. Oh, you just answered my question.
The whole time I've just been like, I feel so sorry for you because I'm you right here and I'm just like well, that was Prem Rawat.
Just give us an idea of what else do you have planned while you're here in Cape Town, South Africa. Are you gonna
couple more events happening in Cape Town, and then I'm going to Johannesburg, and there's a whole bunch of things planned for me in Johannesburg, so I'm busy this time around. Well, Prem Rawat has been sitting here with three lovely ladies talking.
I love how it's so, please help us out here. He just took over. So Prem Rao, peace ambassador.
Thank you pilot. So much, ladies. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been
a blast.
Thank
you so much for
Thank you so much for saying Prem. You got to cook for me. I just want to talk about it.
Lumka, I think you've just asked it yourself.
Cool. So to say goodbye, we're going to play one more track. These ones all just seem to have numbers, though. I'm very curious to hear what Perfect Silence 2, is that a good one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cool. So guys, don't forget you are listening to the Wild Wise Woman show here on Assembly Radio, and we'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God, you guys are wild. Well, I'll remember this one.
For more by Prem Rawat, visit timelesstoday.com.